So, we're finally here.
Alright, start you. Start
This is the
talking.
real start. It already started.
No, okay, it already started. We're starting from here. Alright, guys, welcome to the Light Podcast, which stands for Living in God's Holy Truth. So, what led us to start this podcast?
Okay, so I'll start.
Alright.
So, I've been a Christian my whole life, and it's been on my heart to start preaching the word of God and sharing the word of God to other people. So, long story short, one night I was feeling just really anxious and just had a lot going on, and it didn't really have to do with God, but it was just I had a lot of work. And so I called Ian and I was like, "Yo, Ian, help me with this computer science course," because Ian's a really smart guy. He's got like a 4.6 GPA.
I know Glazy on this podcast, bro.
I just every time I got a problem, Ian's the one I go to. So I
Facts.
called him up. It was like 11 o'clock at night. Sure enough, he was there to help me, and the stuff was due at 11:59. So I was like, "Ian, you got to help me with this." And then he helped me for a while, and then we slowly started talking about God while we were doing the assignment. And pretty much, for a long time, I had been feeling separated from God and anxious. And I didn't know where it was coming from, but Ian kind of just told me. I was telling him about my life and what I was doing, and pretty much I was just chasing the wrong things. And Ian was like, "I want to start a podcast," and I was like, "That's a great idea." So, yeah. And then from that night on, we started planning it. So when,
I mean, I could expand on that story too,
yeah.
and I mean, just like going back on that night, like I remember when Z called me, and like, I remember. Originally, I was planning on doing this podcast on my own, but what was really interesting was that like that night specifically, like I felt like I had like this really big conviction from God to like bring Zeke and Noah on. And I think as we've been like continuing like this journey and like working together, like I've been seeing the fruits in it. And I think especially Zeke and Noah will also be like reaching out to so many different like communities that like I would have not originally been able to reach out to. And it's also been like, I mean, even this place that we're recording right now, it's like Noah's place. It's not a place I would have been here without like God's help. So,
Facts.
and I think on a personal note, I think for me, God has helped me so much in like the past year that like I just have so much overwhelming gratitude for God that like it just makes me want to like spread it to others, you know? Like I just want others to experience like the joy we have as Christians. I want others to feel that fulfillment and that peace that like you can't find anywhere else.
Facts. And I guess I'm the last part of it, so I'll go last. But basically, my story is a little different from Zeke and Ian. Like I kind of found my faith on my own. I've like so I, the reason why I'm a Christian was basically because I just got invited to like a random church like Halloween party one year. So I went with my friend. I thought it'd be fun, and all the cool kids went to church at the time, like I thought it was gonna be like super fun, so I went and it was fun. I stayed for like the community and the friends I made, but then like slowly, after probably like a year and a half or 2 years, I started to actually listen to what they were had to say, and like I realized that like what God has to offer is like greater than anything that I could look for like anywhere else. Like the way, like Ian was saying, like you just feel fulfilled in like a different type of way that you don't like need anything else. You don't need to be like searching for like that popularity or like to hang out with all the cool people or just to get with all the cool girls or any of that stuff. So yeah, these guys like hit me up randomly one night. It was like 11, I think it was probably like a night or two after they had their little talk, and they just added me to their FaceTime, and they were like, we had an idea to make this podcast, and I was like, okay, well, I'm with it, so here we are.
I like what you said about the fulfillment about chasing all these things and chasing girls, because really leading up to that moment, Ian called me for like so long. I was just chasing. I was praying to God, but I was still feeling like disconnected. I would pray to him every night, and I was still feeling like, why don't I feel God? And then God, through Ian, told me that you're really not living for me. You're living for the world. I was just like obsessing over chasing girls, and I was obsessing over like my sports, like football. And then I was just obsessing over everything I had in front of me, that I was really just putting God to the side. And I only really talked to God when I actually needed him. And so God was like, if you really want to follow me, you have to be willing to give up those things for me if you really want to feel my peace. Because I wanted to feel God's peace, but I was still kind of like living for those things. And the thing about those things is it was always something else. Like, I would want something so bad. Like, I wanted to have a good football season. And God blessed me with that. Helped me have a good football season. But then after I got the good football season, I'm like, oh, God, I want to get on the basketball team. Then I'll be fulfilled. And then I got on the basketball team.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh, God, I want to get this girl. And then I thought, I'd get this girl. And then I'm like, not fulfilled. And I was like, dang.
Get that
and,
O.
Yeah. Then I want to get into college. And I'm like, and God bless me. And through that, God showed me, like, I had a realization, like, no matter what I keep chasing after, I'm always going to be chasing. I'm always going to be running. And it's just more and more and more. I thought that if I got this thing, then I would be fulfilled. But I just was not getting fulfilled. So before Ian called me, I'd heard a million sermons. Like, I've been a Christian my whole life. I got baptized when I was in, like, third grade. And I was like, I convinced myself that I was living for God, but God had been showing me signs and signs and signs that I really wasn't living for him. So after that call, I really like sat down and I reflected, and then my eyes opened up and I realized that you got to give up all this, these girls, these sports, everything, just find peace in me. And that's the only thing. I don't have to run and chase anymore, because I can be satisfied with God and the present moment that I'm in right now. I don't have to chase dreams, think I'll be fulfilled, you know?
Yeah, I think that's the best part about it for me. Like I've been struggling just like Zeke. I think we all kind of do. And like giving into our worldly temptations and like our worldly desires of whether it's with girls or with your sport or with school or with whatever. But I think the best part about it for me is that these guys are like keeping me in check. And like while we're going to be doing this podcast, we really are like making a commitment to like living like for God completely. And I think that's like one of the hardest things, is to just stay like consistent with that. So I think that I don't know, God just blessed me with these guys, because it's a lot easier to do that with your friends and in like community and in fellowship than to like embark on that just by yourself with God.
Yeah. And I think all three of us here have like kind of like been in and out of like all the temptations of the world. We've all experienced all the, I want to say all of them, but most of the, I guess, temptations of the world and the desires that like people want. I mean, there's everything. There's lust, there's pride, there's fame, there's popularity.
Gossip.
Yeah, I mean, there's so many things. We could just go on here and like name things the entire podcast, but I think kind of the point is I think all of us have been in and out of that, and we've obviously realized that like as appealing as the things of the world seem, like at the end of the day, none of those things are going to fulfill us. Like none of those things are going to give us true joy. I mean, even if you find like a spouse, even if you find your dream job, your dream passion, all those things are temporary. And it doesn't like compare it to like the eternity we have with God. And what I really enjoy about being a Christian too is a lot of people emphasize that you're going to go to heaven when you die. But I think what's important to know is that the moment you become Christian, the moment you surrender yourself to Christ, you're already in God's kingdom. Like you already have that community here on earth to lean back on. You have like, you have so many things. And a lot of people think too that like they don't want to be Christian because of the limitations that come with it. Like God tells you to not have sex before marriage, to not do this or that. So it seems like super restrictive. But what I've also learned is that the reason God gives us these restrictions is for ourselves. Like it's not just for him, but it's because these things will actually benefit us by, like, not partaking in them. Like, even with sex before marriage, like, there's so many negative things that comes out of doing it, like, before you get married. Like, not because sex is a bad thing, but because it's a spiritual union between you and your partner. Like, it's a special and holy, like, covenant that God has set for your marriage and for your one spouse. So when you abuse that and you do it over and over before marriage, like, you're breaking that holiness, and you're losing out on, like, I guess the great factors in that. And even with, like, physical things, like, even, like, STDs and stuff, it's like there's so much that God is protecting you from that you don't realize. And so I think even though Christianity can seem super restrictive, a lot of the times, like, those limitations are the things that are setting you free. Like, those are the things that are making you more happy and more fulfilled.
I mean, yeah, I think no matter, like, what the sin is, or, like, what the desire or the temptation is, like, it could be, like, anything, even, like, laziness, for example. Like, none of it, like, you might chase it in the moment, like, oh, I just want to, like, lay. But, no, like, after the fact, I feel like none of it makes you feel good. Like, when you're, like, so locked in with God and, like, in just, like, diving into his word every single day and, like, appreciating, like, the life that he's giving you, and, like, just appreciating everything a lot more. You just appreciate everything a lot more, and you just, like, feel, you just notice, you start to feel different, you start to live life differently, and it just feels, like, cleaner and,
yeah,
and better, and, like, how it's supposed to feel. So I just think everyone needs to, like, experience that.
Yeah, I feel like a lot of Christians these days, because I was doing it too in my walk, is when you have all the rules of the Bible, but then you kind of just pick and choose instead of saying trust God. Everyone says trust God, this, trust God, that. Yeah. Have it in the Bible is trust God. But trusting God is following his rules, because God sees everything you don't. God created the world. God created you. God created every hair on your head. The Bible says all the hairs in your head are numbered. And God knew you before you knew yourself. God knew you millions of years before you were even born, and he knew everything about you. So he knows really what your heart desires and what will fulfill you. So when he tells you in the Bible that sex before marriage is not going to fulfill you, it's not just telling him don't do it because it's bad. He's telling you it won't fulfill you. And then so many Christians, I see so many Christians, they're like, I want to follow this rule, but this rule, you know what? I'm just going to,
yeah,
I'm going to decide what's, yeah, fine. Like, oh, you know what? I'm going to not lie. I'm not going to steal. I'm not going to murder. Maybe I'm not going to have sex, but I'm going to drink a couple times, because, you know, all my friends are doing it or whatever. And I've fallen short of this too. I'm like,
yeah, no one's perfect. I was going to say, yeah, you said a lot of Christians.
Yeah.
We, us. Yeah,
me.
Every,
like, me,
yeah.
And me. And this is the only reason why I can say it now, is because I've been through it, and it really doesn't fulfill you. Like, everyone thinks, like, even my mind thinks, like, sex before marriage, oh, I want it so bad. I want to do it so bad. But it's like, it's something that consumes you, and then it's like that chase that you never get fulfilled, because if you actually do it, then you just feel bad. Like, you don't feel filled. You'll always want it more. You'll always want something more. You'll always want to have more sex and more sex and more sex, and you'll always be chasing it, and it will literally consume your mind to where that's the only thing you're thinking about. And it's such a bad road to go down, and it's like so much pain, because, like, you just go down that road, and then you're just lost. But with Jesus, you can not think about people. Like, imagine, like, that burden of just chasing sex all the time is released off you. That's, like, really, then you have peace. Like,
yeah,
you can be like when I was a kid, you know, just out here and just
only
cared about hanging out with my friends. I didn't care about having sex with girls or, like, how much money, or, like, I didn't care about all that stuff, you know?
Yeah.
It's like that innocence is what God gives us again when we're born again with God.
Yeah. And that's why the Bible says too, like, or Jesus tells us, like, we have to have, like, childlike faith. Like, yeah, you have to, like, be able to be set free from those desires. And also, I wanted to kind of talk about what you were talking about at the beginning with, like, the amount of people that are, like, sort of lukewarm.
Yeah.
Like, they could go, all three of us here have been reading Romans recently, and one of the biggest takeaways that I've gotten from it is, like, just how important like change in Christ is. Like it talks about Paul in Romans, he talks about how even if you're not Christian, you could see God in the world. Like even just in nature, you could see that God exists. You could see that God is real. But if that doesn't lead you to change, if you're not going to go to God and if you're not going to surrender your life to him, then it means nothing. Whether you know God or not, you're still going to be judged in the same way if you don't surrender yourself to Christ. And one of the, like, I searched up a verse just now because I couldn't remember exactly what it was, but in Romans 2:4, Paul says, "And is the kindness of God not supposed to lead you to repentance?" There's so many people nowadays that because they know that your works isn't what saves you and it's Christ, that they abuse the mercy of God. They abuse the grace of God and they say, "Oh, I could do whatever I want and I'm going to change or I'm going to repent and believe in the gospel right before I die." But the reality is, Jesus also says, like, he's going to come like a thief in the night. Like, he could come at any time, and if you're not changed, if you're not ready to repent, if you're not already surrendered to Christ, then the reality is you're going to be judged just like everyone else who never heard or knew about Christ. And I think it's just so, I think we just need to put a bigger emphasis on the fact that you need to repent, you need to change over than just knowing God. Because there's plenty of people, even at our school, that could put a Bible verse in the Bible. They could say they're Christian. They could go to church. But yet they're living for the world. They're not willing to change. They're not willing to give up that sin. And what that leads to is just even more misery. And you start questioning, is God even real? Is God even there for me? If you're not going to give yourself up to Christ, if you're not willing to change, then how are you going to see that? How are you going to see the goodness of God, you know?
Exactly. And I think that the way you're being judged, people get mad at God. It's like, oh, so if I don't believe in you, you're going to send me to this hell. But this hell is what you're choosing by not giving your life up to God. This life of constant chase, no rest, peace, then you go to bed all like anxious, anxiety and depression. That like carries on with you to eternity. If you want to spend your whole life doing what you want, not listening to God, just going out and fulfilling every evil desire you have in your heart, then God's going to let you do that for eternity. He's going to say, okay, it hurts me. It hurts God to send you to hell. But hell is you. God says, okay, you could do whatever you want. I'm going to let you do whatever you want. So you can spend the rest of eternity fulfilling whatever evil desire, and you'll have no rest because God is what gives you rest. So that's why hell is so bad, because if you have no God, you have no rest. So you're always going to be chasing something. You're always going to be anxious. You're always going to be just depressed. Every negative feeling, you cry at the end of the day, just feeling horrible, like the weight of the world, like that feeling, negative feeling, that's all hell is, because that's all that sin comes from. The devil is like a trickster. He makes a sin look so good, he wraps it up, but then it really has nothing. It's like empty. It's like, it makes you feel like, oh, it looks so good, but when I actually did it, it's like not fulfilling me. And what heaven is pretty much surrendering your sin to God and then saying, God, I want your peace. And then God's peace. You don't got to worry about, you can be like a kid again, like an innocent kid with God for the rest of eternity. And that's what heaven is. So if you wouldn't give up your life to God on this earth, what makes you think you would want to give it up for the whole eternity?
Like,
you don't want heaven. You chose this. Like, it's not like a punishment. It's a choice. And God wants so bad for you to choose him. That's why they had that parable where he was a shepherd. There was a shepherd, and there was 99 sheep that he had. And he left all those 99 sheep to just get the one sheep. He wants the one person to go to heaven. Every time one person gives their life to God, they rejoice. So he wants for everyone to go to heaven. But it's just a matter of, will you choose him? And if you choose him, everyone celebrates it. That's why. And that's why we're doing this.
Do you guys know the one reason why Jesus hasn't come back yet? He says in the Bible, the only reason why Jesus hasn't come back yet is because he's waiting for more people to be saved. He's patient with us. Jesus is ready to come back anytime. He's ready to come out and wipe out all the evil and take the righteous up with him to heaven. But the only reason he's waiting is because... The only reason he hasn't come back down yet is because he wants more people to be saved. Yeah. He wants he wants those lost sheep to return to him. And I think also, I mean, just as a whole in this conversation, I think it would also be a good idea to, like, I kind of want to redirect it to, like, some of our personal experiences too, and, like, how we went from, I guess, putting a lot of, like, our fulfillment in, like, the worldly things, and how some of these limitations that, like, God has set for us has, like, in a way, like, set us free and given us, like, fulfillment.
I think that's exactly, like, why, like, at least for me, that's, like, the biggest point of, like, this podcast, and the biggest thing I want to get across is, like, a lot of people knew me as somebody who would just, like, go to parties and whatever, and drink and smoke and get with all these girls or whatever, like, whatever it is, and seeing, like, or I don't know, I feel like I want to be able to, as best as I can, show people that, like, there's a distinction between, like, how Ian was saying, or how both you guys were saying, you can just, like, go to church and put that thing in your bio, that Bible verse in your bio, but that's not, like, following the Lord, and that's not, like, what he wants for you. He wants, like, something bigger for you. He wants you to, like, fully give your life to him. And I think a lot of people, like, everybody hears, like, the restrictions, like, don't do this, don't do that, but it frees you, and, like we were saying, it gives you that, like, it makes you feel like a kid again. Like, I had lunch with one of my friends, Tom from Journey. Oh, yeah. Shout out to Tom, because I told him all about this podcast and all about the idea and stuff, and we were just talking, and he was, like, we brought up, like, I don't know, he had this girlfriend, so I asked him about it, and he was, like, no, like, I've been, like, really taking a step back, and, like, for the past 3 months or 2 months, I've just been, like, trying my absolute hardest to look at every, like, woman as, like, a sister in Christ and as, like, God's creation. And he was just saying how much it's, like, freed him from, like, the stress of whether it's, like, not, like, trying to be different or, like, be cool or be, like, you know, just trying to, like, get with all these girls. And he was just like, if you, like, as soon as I did that, it just changed my whole perspective, and I could be myself, and I could just, like, live, like, the way the Lord calls me to, and just, like, lift everybody up and just be, like, as positive as he could be. And I was that, like, that hit, because I was like, yo, like, if I could be like that, then, like, that'd be, like, freeing.
Yeah.
And I just want to emphasize too that, like, I know for most of this podcast we've been talking about, like, all the bad things, like the temptations of the world, like even just partying, lusting with multiple women. But I think we've also realized that even things that may normally seem good, the moment you put it above God, it becomes sin.
Yeah.
Like even the things like just cool. Loving, yeah, even just loving one spouse, just one person, it's not lusting around with multiple people. You genuinely love one person. But the moment you put that love above Christ, that's sin, because you're saying, yeah, I'm choosing the world, I'm choosing this woman over you, God. And I think just a personal experience of mine that kind of emphasizes it too. In my freshman year of high school, I liked this one girl, and obviously it didn't work out. But the reason I'm bringing this up is because I think there's so many people, like, just watching back home that could relate to it. And I think it's just the feeling of putting all your fulfillment, your commitment, and your effort into one person. And when that doesn't work out, even if it's something good, like, it leaves you, like, devastated, and it makes you, like even though so much good can come out from that, like, because I was putting it over God, like, there was so much I was losing. But then
I think we can all think of a time where we've been like, God, there's hella mosquitoes, hella mosquitoes, because that window's open. Oh my. But I think we can all think of, like, times when we've been like, God, if you just give me this girl, yeah, I'll do anything. Yeah, I'll give my life to you. I'll do anything. I'll literally do anything if you just give me this one girl. And then you get it, and then it's like, what do you have? Yeah. It's like, dang, you're just on to the next thing. Like, it's just like,
yeah, and it's crazy. And for the times that you're praying that hard for something like that and then you don't get it, I think what's interesting about that too is in the moment it might seem like God is not working in your life. Like, you prayed every single night, let me just get this one thing, and then you don't get it. You think, God is not working in my life. Like, where are you, Lord? Like, I thought this prayer was supposed to help me. Like, I thought you were on my side. Mm-hmm. But then a year, even 2 years from now, you start realizing, oh, the reason God put me through that hardship was for something good. Oh, the reason that God made me lose that woman, the reason why I had that injury in that sport was so that God could teach me this even greater lesson that would help me down the road. I mean, even just when I was like having a hard time with, getting over that one girl, like, I think that helped me, that propelled my faith so much, because instead of putting my fulfillment in a woman, I started putting it in God. I started seeking God. And I think if I hadn't gone through that, I probably wouldn't be here now. I probably wouldn't have like pursued God so much, where I, for once, I started realizing how much fulfilling, or how much more fulfilling God was than everything else.
And that's what I want to try, and like, as best as we can, I don't, because it's really like a fulfillment that you can't put into words very easily. But I think that if more people understood how like freed and like peaceful and at ease you become once you like fully give your life to Christ and live with him, you wake up and you just dive into the word, and you just like I'll just be like driving, or like driving to school or whatever, I'll be in practice, or I'll just be like looking at like a tree or the sky or the beach or the water or like this food, and I'm just like, this is all God, and like this is all thanks to God. And you just like, you just live different, like in a way that's just so much better than like, it just, it feels clean. Like that, that's the way that I can like best describe it, is it's just clean. Like
my mom used to say, heaven, when I would ask her, like when I was a kid, what heaven is like, she was like, heaven is like a time, think about when you're on vacation with your family and you just have no worries and you guys are all like laughing together and having a good time. Or like, think about when you're with, like the happiest memories with your friends, when you're out there playing with your friends, not worried about doing, not worried about like, oh, caught up in sin and all this bad stuff. You're just having fun with your friends. Like, that's what heaven is like. And,
still good.
Yeah, we good. All right. And yeah, God, I like the, how you said God uses things like the devil will use good, everything good that God has in this world for us, and it's made for good, the devil will try to twist it. Like, God made us for good. God made us to love each other like kids and have fulfillment relationships, and he made sex to be good for husband and wife, and he made but the thing, like my example was sports. God made sports like so you could drive and work and put work towards something, and it's like a really good thing that God made. But when you put it above God, that's how the devil gets you to twist it. So I was this year, I had God give me a lot of success in my sports, but around like March I got hurt, and like I couldn't like stop playing sports, because it was to the point where it was like the thing that gave me fulfillment. Yeah, like I would go, if I didn't work out that day, I would just feel like anxious, like, oh, I didn't work out, or oh, I'm getting behind. Like, and so I would try to work out, and I injured myself 3 more times trying to work out. I was trying to work out, and I broke my wrist in the weight room while I already had my hip flexor was strained. I already had a strained hip flexor, and then I broke my wrist in the weight room. And then I was like, oh my gosh. And that's when I realized I had to stop doing it completely. And I was going to bed, waking up anxious. I was just feeling lazy. Just like a sloth, going to school after school. Yeah. Going to after school, just sleeping, just didn't want to do my homework, didn't want to do anything. And then I realized that God showed me that, because he was like, tell me if you're going to keep playing sports, you can't put it over me, or else when you get hurt, or you have a bad game, or let anything happen, you get cut from the team or something,
you got nothing.
And so pretty much what you have to do is give up whatever is good in your life to God and say, God, like, you're my number one. So say this season, if I get hurt, hopefully I don't, but if I do get hurt, or I do, something happens and I lose, get a scholarship or lose it, or something happens, I still won't be shaken too much. I won't be like devastated, because I know that it's God. I'm living in God's will, and God has a plan for my life. So I don't have to worry that this bad thing is happening, because it's in God's will, and I don't have to be all sad and crazy about it. you know.
And I wanted to loop back to something you said a while ago now, but it's when you said that it's only something you could realize when you experience it. Yeah. And I think that's why us, I mean, not just us, but like Christians as a whole have like this urgency of wanting to tell people. And I think for a lot of atheists, it might seem like we're pushing it down their throats or like, you know, being forceful, but it's like, it's because we care about you so much that, or like God's love is so good that it's like, we just want to tell you, like, and it's something you could only know by experiencing it, which is why we're so desperate, you know? Cause it's like, you're not just gonna figure it out by hearing us talk. Like, you're only gonna know for sure what we mean when you actually surrender yourself to Christ and you live in Him.
And that's why I want to like emphasize even more, like, I didn't come from like a Christian like family. I was not raised in the church. Like, I know like how like even like crazy some of the stuff can sound, like, just from like an outsider's point of view, like don't like do all this, like, all the stuff that all your friends are doing, and be different, and, like, you know, like, it's, like, hard, and it's weird, and it's, like, it seems super, like, restricting and conservative and, like, you know, just not normal. But when you actually, like, experience God's peace and like, you just feel, like, a weight lifted off your shoulders that you just can't really, like, put into words. And I just wish I, like... Because, like, even I was hanging out with some people the other day, and it's, like, a really random example, but this girl was, like, talking about, like, this guy that she's, like, maybe into, and she was, like, they were, like, talking to each other, and they were talking to me, and she was, like, I don't know, he might be a little too churchy for me, like, his mom asked me to go to church with them, and I was just, like, man, like...
If only they knew,
because they think it's like, think it's like a weird thing. That's like, they think it's weird, like a little too churchy, like that's like a bad thing, or like it's like weird. But like, I promise you, it's just, it's like a freedom that I was like, nah, you should go to church with them. Like, just like try it out.
I just want to even emphasize even more that, like, I was talking about, like, where I'm spreading the gospel because I care about you. Like, I love you and I want to see you in heaven. But even more than that, I heard this quote from, there's this magician. He's not even Christian, but he's an atheist. His name's Penn Jillette. And he had this person evangelize to him, and kind of, he posted a video on like his takeaway from it. And one of the things he said was, how much do you need to hate someone to not spread the gospel to them? How much do you need to hate them to not tell them? Because it's like, When the gospel, when Jesus' truth is the difference between eternal damnation and the difference between eternal paradise and fulfillment and happiness, like, how much do you need to hate someone to decide not to tell them, I'm not going to tell them?
How much do you need to hate someone to let them burn?
Exactly. It's not even about, like, loving them. It's like, how, like, that's something, like, that I wouldn't even wish on my worst enemy. I think people, like... I feel like, obviously, for you guys, like, even if you hate someone like a ton, like, you wouldn't want to see them like burn. You wouldn't want to see them die in a horrible
way. Think about this. Think about your friend that, just picture somebody in your life that, like, it lives of the world and it, like, doesn't really know God like that. Picture them burning. Burning and like, not to be all harsh and like,
and I think, like, a lot of atheists might see this right away and be like creeped out, like, and say, like, this is horrible. But like, the reality is, that is the truth. And the reason we're here in the first place is because we don't want to see you do that. Like, we want to see you in heaven. And I mean, obviously, I was talking about how much you need to, like, hate someone, but then I think as Christians, like, we also just have, like, this overflowing heart of, like, we also love and care for everyone, and that makes us want to tell people, like, so much more. Like, I genuinely I said I wasn't going to address any of the viewers, but, like, even for the viewers, like, at home, like, I think all of us care about you so much. Like, we love you and we want to see you fulfilled in Christ, that we're just out here, like, doing all that we can to, like, spread the gospel to even just one more person. Because it's so important.
I think that, you said, like, a little too churchy, and, like, I feel like my life, I've been, or, like, my time in high school for the past, like, couple, 4 years, I haven't been churchy enough, and that's why I'm starting this doing this podcast with Ian, and the more time I spend by myself, the more I just want to literally be a church like
guy.
Like I don't want people to look at me and say I'm fine. I'm not. I want people to look at me and say, dang, he's too churchy. Like I want.
It's like I used to be worried about like what if people think I'm too religious.
They think it's like weird.
It's a problem like, if people see you and they think you're not Christian.
Yes.
Because that like what Jesus says is we're here on this earth. We're here in this world, but we're not of the world. We're set to be different. We're set to be apart. And the reality is, as Christians, we're called to spread the gospel in a way that, as we do, we're going to be persecuted. People are going to laugh at us. They're going to mock at us. Yeah. They're going to say things about us.
Exactly.
But that's what we have to do, because if we're not doing that, then guess what? That means we're just like the rest of the world.
Exactly.
That means we're fitting in. And if we're fitting in, that means we're doing something wrong.
And yeah, that's what convicted me a lot when you called me, and when I was spending a lot of... it's summertime that hit me the hardest, because during school, I was with my friends every day. Yeah. I was with sports every day. I would give God maybe 5 minutes every day, and he was trying to tell me something so bad, and I was just going over my head, because I was so busy, and I was always around people. I was always trying to hang out with people. I was always trying to, oh, Noah, come over. Like, what are we going to do tonight? Like,
yeah,
I was always trying to do something. But during the summer, I was forced, and it was God using it. I spent so much time by myself, so much time on airplanes, just thinking by myself and getting deep in thought. And that's when I realized, like, God wants me to give my whole life to him. And God wants me to that's one. The more I give up to God, the more fullness I'll feel. And the reason why I wasn't feeling peace, like I say, like, you're Christian, you turn Christian, you'll feel peace. But the reason why I wasn't feeling peace, because I've been Christian, was because I wasn't giving up. I was hiding stuff from God that I wasn't giving to him. So like from this year, I want to focus on giving everything to God. You know, people see me, they just, oh, that dude is crazy. He's crazy about God. Like, that's the type of level I want to get to on my faith.
Yeah.
And also I think it's this, it's not perfect. You're not going to feel peace all the time, because we live in a world that's just so messed up. Everything, like just being on social media, and it's so easy to get caught up in that. So really, it's a daily thing where you have to open up your word and get in contact with God, because you can't just accept God one time and then feel all the peace for the rest of your life. You have to accept God every new day and keep clinging on to God, because the second you stop keeping your mind off of God, then your other priorities, this other girl that's looking really good, is going to catch your eye and be like, dang, I need to live for her instead, you know?
Exactly. And it's like, it's hard too, because you have like a whole, like, for example, for me, I have like a whole friend group, like a whole football team, a whole, like, all these girls I'm friends with, they like are just always pushing like things that are not like of God, like they're not Christian, like, and it's just like I just like always come back to like what is that doing, like, for me, like, hanging around a bunch of like people who aren't Christian? It's just like, it's not building me up, and it's not like it's just like making me susceptible to like giving into my worldly desires, and it makes me like chase girls that aren't like that I shouldn't. Not that having a girlfriend or like chasing a one girl is like a bad thing, but I think like for me, like chasing, like, I wouldn't want to be in a relationship with somebody who isn't Christian.
Yeah.
So it's just like, it just gets you like in the wrong headspace.
And I want to talk about, or Zeke was talking about how like God was sending so many signs to him to like kind of call him back into his kingdom. And I think, is it good? Are we good? Okay. But I was going to say, I was telling this to my friend earlier, but I was basically saying how a lot of times we might think that God isn't, like, especially atheists, they go around and they say, like, God isn't reaching out to me, like, or, like, I don't see God working in my life, like, how can I be sure he's real?
Mm-hmm.
But I think the reality is, a lot of times, like, God is working in your life, and God is showing you signs. even for those of you guys who don't, who have never heard about the gospel, who have never heard about Jesus, he is working in your life and he's sending you signs. But the difference is we need to also actively look for them. We need to actively pursue them. If we're just blocking, if we're blocking out everything related to Christianity, if we're saying like, no, God, you need to personally come down here and like slap me in the face and then I'll turn to Christ.
Yeah.
Then like obviously God isn't going to do that. Like, so if you do want to see the signs that God is showing you, like you need to look for them, because a lot of times, even for me in my life, when I go through a hardship, at first it might not seem like that big of a deal. Like I might not see anything in it. But as I pursue God and I get closer to God, I start seeing signs in these hardships. I start seeing like even the smallest thing, like even for us, we were going to record this podcast, but we had like some like complications and then it got postponed like a week or two.
A while.
In my mind, I was like, that's just like, why is this being like postponed? Like, it's just like a random pointless, I don't know. I just didn't add any meaning to it, right? I'm like, okay, got postponed. Now we just record it. But then I think what kind of reframed my mind to is, I think Ezekiel's talking about how, like, let's use this time instead to read some Romans. Let's use this time instead to read the Bible and get closer to God. And then what I realized is maybe God kind of led us to postpone this so we could spend more time to read the Bible and spend more time to get closer to God. And even during that time period, I ended up going to a church retreat, and the whole retreat was about evangelizing. And so I learned so much about that. And I think a lot of times in our mind, we don't see how God is working in our life. We don't see the signs. But the reality is he's always working your life, and God has this masterful like orchestration that he's working in you and in the people around you. And I think once you grow enough in your faith to see it, it's just such a great blessing, because you realize at first you start thinking like, oh, God's just, he pops in every once in a while, he helps me occasionally. But no, God is every single detail in your life. He's always working. Every single experience you go through, every single setback, he intentionally had you experience that. Mm-hmm. He intentionally had you go through that because he wanted you to grow. He wanted you to see something.
I agree with you completely, like everything you're saying. But another thing is how you were saying, you were talking about like, I don't know, like believing, like how people like, it's hard to like see God. Yeah. But in like, you can't like physically see him, but that's also why we call it like our faith.
Yeah.
Because you need to be able to like have faith in something that you can't, like, it's not like a tangible thing. Like you can't see him. Like you can't talk to God. Like I'm talking to Ian right now. Like it's something that you need to like believe in and put your trust in him.
What's funny too, though, people say, why can't God just come down?
Yeah.
He did.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
He came down, but even though he came down, people still persecuted him. People still didn't believe. And so that's what God knows, too. Even if God were to come down, those same unbelievers still wouldn't believe. Why? Because the issue isn't proof. The issue isn't evidence. The issue is in your heart. It's in your faith. Are you willing to open up your heart and surrender yourself and say, yes, there's a God who's greater than me. Yes, I need a humble myself, and I need to be a server, not someone who takes all the glory. I need to give all my glory to God. Like, you first need to open up your heart to be willing to say, I'm willing to do that, or else you're never going to be receptive to God. You're never going to see God.
This is like exactly what we talked about in church this Sunday, and they were saying kind of like in a simple way, God is always on the phone. Like when you're on the phone and someone keeps breaking up, God is always on the phone trying to tell you something.
Yeah.
But you're the one that keeps breaking up and going, doing something.
Yeah.
And I say the biggest thing.
That's a good analogy.
In my faith, is the biggest thing is don't be afraid to be by yourself sometimes.
Yeah, facts.
Like we're never by ourselves. I watch so many people and
looking for something to do every day.
Every day.
What's the plot?
When you're by yourself, you're on your phone, on Instagram and TikTok, and for until you go to sleep, you fall asleep on the phone scrolling through videos.
Yeah,
and
JC Johnson.
Yeah, my little brother does that, and I try to tell him, but he hasn't listened yet. But
you can never hear. It's so hard for you to hear God's word if you're always making yourself busy. Jesus went and prayed alone. Went and prayed alone for hours.
God himself would pray. God himself, before he began his ministry, The first day he decided to go and preach the gospel and proclaim that he was God. He went out into a desolate place in the wilderness, and he was praying for so long that people started panicking. They're like, where is Jesus? Where is he? God himself, like literally God himself, prayed that much because he knew it was that necessary for him.
Think about this. Think about this. If you were God, you could do anything you wanted to do. You think you would just like sit alone and just pray and just like, think about that.
That's how good it is.
You could do any, like you could like
and make out of a volcano. Like he chooses that.
Out
of everything. And, and if God himself is praying that much, how much more do we need to pray?
Exactly.
How much more do we sinful people who are attached to our flesh who have so much doubts in God, how much more do we need to pray? I heard a thing that a Christian man is marked by prayer. A faithful man is marked by prayer. The amount that you pray is a reflection of your faith. It's a reflection of how much you know God, of how much you're close to him. And
check your phone, Ian.
Yeah, we're still good.
My fault.
And sorry for those who are back at home who are like confused why we keep checking, but yeah, it's our first time, so.
But it's going smooth.
It's going good.
A little too smooth. Already 47 minutes, bro. Right? What?
That's what I was saying, bro. Like, this, like, no one's concerned. Like,
I was like, an hour, bro. That's crazy.
But then it's like, I mean, one of the reasons why we start this podcast, too, is I think in the conversations we had,
like, we grow in our faith with the conversation.
Yeah, no, and also it was like, we get so sucked into it, and then after we're like, man, that was a good conversation.
Yeah.
And it's like, imagine if everyone else could hear, like, the conversations we're having, too.
Yeah, we were talking some crazy stuff on FaceTime, bro.
Hey, and listen to this. The reason why people can sit there and pray for, like, an hour is because the more deep you get into prayer, the more deep you get into this conversation. It's like this. Like, this conversation, the longer we're in it, the deeper it gets. The same thing happens with God. The longer you're in the prayer in a row, the deeper, more deep things God can give to you. So you can pray to God for like 5 minutes, and it's gonna be like the first probably 5 minutes of the fog. Like, it's like,
it'd be good.
It's good. Like, it's good to get in contact. Yeah. But if you sit down, like if you sit down for like, close your eyes, 20, 30 minutes, and just talk listen and talk to God. Pour out your feelings to God. Make sure you're thankful. You'll learn so much about yourself, and you'll get so deep. And he's there. Like, you can't see him, but you know he's there.
Yeah.
It's like, you can't deny he's there because he's telling you things that, everything's clicking in your head. And then the longer you stay in the prayer, you don't even want to get out. What happens is I'll be doing that, and then somebody will call my name or something. Then I'll have to. But once you're that deep in prayer, you don't even want to stop.
Get out of it.
And it's really good.
Can I just take a step back and point out how, if some of you guys who are watching right now are still not really, or you're skeptical of like how much God can really work in your life, like how good really is God, like if you don't believe what we're saying, I think I just want to point out, from the beginning of this podcast to right now, we started off this podcast, we were like, hey guys, this is the Life Podcast. And 45 minutes in, just talking about God, like, all of us, if you had, like, I think it'll show on camera, too, but just the amount of, like, passion and, like, the amount of fire that, like, it's igniting in our hearts, like, that's how good God is. Like, it just makes me, like, jump out of my seat and, like, want to proclaim the gospel. Yeah, like, I just want to tell people.
I promise you, we're not, like, some crazy,
It gets you excited.
They know, like, everyone watching this, like, know, have seen us in a regular life.
Exactly, like, we're normal, normal people. Like, it's, I don't want to, like I just keep thinking back to like when I was hanging out, and she was like, "I think he's a little too churchy for me," and that just like messed me up because I was like, "Do people really think like I was like, bro, like?"
And yeah, God knows the plans for everyone. Like, he knows the plan for you. You think you don't need God, like. Oh, it's not for me. Like, oh, these people are just different. They're like churchy. They're it's only for that group of people. Like, I know what I want. I know I want this marriage and this husband. I know, like, God knows. Everybody needs it. Like, it's literally everybody struggles. Everybody. I can't speak for everybody, but I know me. Even I've been a Christian my whole life, so I've known God, and me knowing God, I still feel so hopeless because I remember it was like my sophomore year. And I had kind of abandoned God for a while, like beginning my sophomore year. And I was kind of just doing whatever I wanted to do. And I was mad at God because it was so stupid. I was mad at God because he wasn't letting me play good. So I was like, all right, God, you want to let me play good? You don't want to answer my prayers? I'm going to do whatever I want. And I literally did whatever I want. And I would go to bed at night And I would just feel like so anxious. I just wanted to cry at night. I would just be like, I got this and this. And then I would look to God and I was like, oh, I can't turn to God. Like, shoot, what do I do? Like, yeah. And that's what hell feels like. You just got like, you can't, there's no one to turn to. And you just feel like horrible and like that's like I feel like depressed and just I can't even describe the feeling to you.
Yeah.
But why. Yeah.
I think this is one of the reasons why I think it's so good that all three of us are here on this podcast. Because that's a point that I would have never brought up on my own. But I think it's so good because I think there's so many people back at home too who are struggling with that anxiety, but they also feel so guilty and shameful that they can't turn to God.
Yeah.
But I wanna say even when the devil gets you to sin, he knows that you could go back to God at any time and confess of your sins. But what the devil really wants you to do is he wants you to not turn to God. He wants you to live in your sin, and he wants you to not think you're worthy of going back to God. So what the devil tries to do is he tries to make you feel shameful, and he tries to make you feel guilty. But the reality is, guys, every single person here on this earth, every single person that you could think of, none of us are deserving to go to God. None of us are deserving to have the grace of God and go to heaven.
Because we're all sin.
Yeah, but the reality is that Jesus has extended that grace to everyone, and that even though we don't have the right to, because Jesus has given us that gift, I would say we do have that right to. Because Jesus has given us that gift, we have the right to go to Jesus. And no matter how many times you're going to stray away, no matter how many times you're going to be that lost sheep, God is always going to search back to you, and God is always going to welcome you with open arms. Like, never doubt yourself and never doubt God and think, oh, because I've turned away from God this many times that it's too late now. Yeah. Like, I'm too full of sin. I'm too guilty. Every single time, God will always accept you, and you won't even feel a little bit of like, why is he coming back? He's always going to accept you with open arms. So if
that's not just yeah. accept you, but he wants you yeah. to come back yeah. to him every time yeah. so badly. Like, that's what he desires.
Exactly. Because the further you are, the longer you stay away from God, the worse it gets.
Yeah.
So
yeah, there's like there's a story in the Bible about like how, I don't think I can remember or recount every detail. But it's basically there's a father and there are two sons, and one son was super faithful to the father, all his life, but the other son, I think, I forgot exactly what happened, but he got a lot of his dad's money, and he left, and he did all these things. He went out, and he started partying. So he did all these bad things, and he lost all his money. And one night, he was like, I can't take this anymore. Like, I need to go back to my dad. Like he was, like, homeless. He was, like, broken and afraid. And he goes back to his dad, and he starts walking to his dad's house, and his dad sees him from a distance. He sees him far away on a hill, and the dad doesn't just say like, oh, like, welcome home, like, got or dad the dad runs over to the son. He runs and greets him at the hill. He doesn't wait for the son to come all the way back to the house. He runs to the son who had abandoned him, and he greets him with open arms, and he says, welcome back home, and he throws a party. And I think the reason why I kept getting mixed up with God and dad is because that's God. God is the dad in that situation. God is, no matter how many times we betray him, no matter how many times we fall short of him, God is always going to run to us with open arms. I think that's a great point you made. God isn't just going to accept us. Like, he's going to sprint at us. He's going to do everything he can to bring us back.
Yeah. Exactly. Yeah. That's the thing about God's love. It just makes you want to like, it makes it kind of like, just like the thing that makes me emotional is because when I think of Jesus dying, how much he had to love us, that he was dying for the people that were literally killing him, like yeah. actively whipping him.
And he could have stopped it at any moment.
Spitting at him and laughing at him. Yeah. He could have just said, forget you guys. Like, why? You guys could have, all right, fine. Like, he could have said that, but no, he let them spit all over him and let them whip him and let them mock him. So, oh, if you're really God, do this. Like, he let that all happen. And as he's hurting, he died for those same people so they would have another chance.
Yeah. And it says those angels had their swords drawn ready to wipe out the whole earth at his yeah. one command. But even then, Jesus was like, no.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's... Yeah.
It's humble. And that's how, like,
it's crazy.
And because Jesus knows, really,
like, in front of all of that, like, I don't need Jesus, I'm on my own, like, I know better, there's always, like, a little kid inside of you that really, like in your heart, you really need Jesus. Like, that's, no matter how much you try to hide it, even those super criminals that are just crazy, like, everyone, like, needs Jesus's love, and it's something that's, like, it's like, crazy to even think about, like, yeah, why he loves us so much. It's like a dad loves his kid. He's always sees us as his kid. And I like that.
And that's why we evangelize, because not only like do we like want, like not only do we do it for yourself, but like Jesus calls us to like do it so that it, like everybody can experience his peace and everybody can like live in his like glory and live like the life that we live, like when you follow him, and so that you don't have to go to hell and you don't have to like burn for all of eternity. And that's like literally the whole point of why we're doing this, is just so that we can, like, especially like for me, like I want to target as many, like, or I want as many people just like me to listen, like people from Redondo or the South Bay, or kids who just, you know, go to parties and drink, and like, because that was literally me, that's all I did. And it doesn't fulfill you whatsoever. It makes you anxious. It makes you always trying to like get that popularity. You want to make a cool Instagram post. You keeping track of your followers to make sure you follow less people than you follow you, so that you're cool. And make sure you get all the likes on your posts, and make sure is my caption good and all this stuff. But when you have like Jesus and God, you don't like all that. Imagine if like all that stress of like social media and like being cool and popularity, you could just crumble it up in a ball and throw it in the trash can and never worry about it ever again, and only worry about something that's like real and something that genuinely like fulfills you and like your heart, and it just makes you feel like different. Like if I told you that like there was something more than just like this life of drinking and partying and girls and what, or guys or whatever, like it's just like way, like I just pray like so much that everybody that's listening would be able to experience that, and would like, if you're like not a Christian, at least just give it a chance. Like, and try. Like, and like hear out what we're saying. Don't just like put it straight in one ear out the other ear, because you'd be surprised how it could really like change your life. Like I would have never imagined like fully giving my life to Christ and getting rid of, or like trying as best I can to get rid of all my like worldly desires. But it changes you, like, and it just makes you like the best version of who you are. So
I think I do have a couple more things to say, but I think because we're approaching an hour, what I did want to do is, I think like in the middle of this podcast, we were emphasizing a lot like the importance of prayer and how much it helps, or how much it has helped us, and how important it is for everyone to do it. So what I was thinking we could do is just to like kind of wrap things up. I think all three of us could just pray for whoever's watching at home. And I think especially if you're not Christian, and I think if somehow God has led you to watch this entire episode, I think
legacy.
I think that's crazy.
If I was not Christian, bro, I would.
Yeah, but I think if you got to this point in this video, one way or another, I think,
if you got to this point in this video, text me.
I would pry.
text me. The cross signs, and I would just be so happy. Because at first, before we even filmed this, we were like, I don't know if we're going to post it. We're definitely posting this.
Yeah.
Definitely post. Like,
this, but yeah, hilarious. I mean, even if it's just one person, like I said, like we could do this for 30 years, and if it affects one person, then we did our job. So I think it would be good for us to just pray for whoever's watching at home. And I think, like I said, if for a reason or for one way or another you got to this point in the video, it's for a reason. And God has a purpose for you.
Yeah.
And I think this prayer, I think you would just, I just hope that you would be affected by it, and that you would,
And see, thank you if you got to the end of this video. Thank you.
All right. So, okay, I'll start off the prayer, and then we'll just go in a circle like we did. Dear God, thank you so much for giving us this opportunity to just come as a whole and have this good time to talk about you, Lord. I'm so thankful that everything, at least so far, has gone according to your plan. I'm really praying and hoping right now that that video didn't shut off while we're doing this. But but I just want to pray for whoever is watching at home. I pray that you'll touch their hearts, Lord, that at least one thing during this video will touch their hearts, and that they'll think maybe just I need to search for God, just maybe Jesus is real. I just pray that you'll expand on that, and that you'll send people into their life to affect them and spread the gospel to them. And I just pray, Lord, that you will enter their lives, that they'll be able to see you in their lives, and that the Holy Spirit will touch their hearts.
Dear God, I thank you for letting me, Zeke and Ian, finally come together to spread your word and evangelize and just try and, you know, follow what you say, God. I pray that you would just touch and affect everybody who's watching this, and that you would show them that when you give your life to you, that it changes you, and it gives you some type of peace, and it gives you some type of it just lifts everything off your shoulders, and all the stress and anxiety and depression and whatever, you can cure all of that, Lord. And I pray that you would show some people that, or show everybody that's watching, that there's things in life that are greater than the drinking and the smoking and the sex and the lust and the laziness and the gossiping and all of that, that when you follow you, God, you get way, way, way more fulfilled than any of those worldly desires could ever even be close to fulfilling you. And I pray that these words that you've given me to speak would truly affect some people, would truly affect some people that are watching, and that at least one person will be changed by what we're doing. So.
God, I thank you that we're allowed to be able to do this podcast. I pray that it gets posted cleanly, edited cleanly, like nothing gets deleted.
Right.
I pray. But yeah, thank you, God. I pray that I could get this feeling that I feel right now and carry it with me through the days, the upcoming days and upcoming weeks, and I could feel like this all the time, God, close to you. God, I pray that we planted a seed of faith and so many people watching this, and I pray that you'll use this ministry to touch a lot of people's lives and help it grow us to continue to touch people's lives in our school and people we know, and help change me and Noah and Ian, help us all to give our lives to you and give up anything that we've been keeping from you, and continue to grow in our faith so that we could spread it around even better. In Jesus' name, amen.
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 All right. I think that's it for the podcast. Thank you guys. Do it. Yeah. Thank you guys for tuning in. If anyone else still here watching, but it was good. Yeah. Well, what'd you guys think?
That was pretty good.
So bad after all.
But yeah, we'll be posting a lot more. We'll do some, we're going to go to some beaches. We're going to see if we could evangelize.
Yeah.
We have some other videos planned, and then we'll see if we could bring some guest speakers onto here as well.
Yeah.
We go right now.
Nah.
Well, probably not.
I turn up the echo all the way now. Yeah.
Not now.
All right. That's all
right.
Wait, before you end it.
Hey, just make sure you don't delete any of your audio recording, bro.
Oh, you're so mean. Yo, we're done.